This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello and welcome to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Thank you for joining us. We're your hosts. My name is Marcy Davis, and my co-host is my amazing service dog, Fenway. And we're excited to be with you today to talk about our favorite subject, and you know what that is, working dogs and working animals. And today we are welcoming Caitlin Erickson. And Caitlin is the executive director of Horses for Healing. And she's been with them since the program was founded in 2013, first as an equine specialist and then transitioning to full-time therapist and eventually clinical director in 2021. And Caitlin received her bachelor's in psychology from the University of New Mexico and her master's in social work from New Mexico State University. So she is a licensed clinical social worker and a certified equine therapist. So cool. And she specializes in working with veterans, children, adolescents, and families with a focus on cognitive behavioral therapy and trauma-based work. So we are so thrilled to have her with us today. So come right back after these quick and important messages as we welcome Caitlin Erickson from Horses for Healing to the show.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. So thrilled to have Caitlin Erickson with us today. Hello, Caitlin, and welcome.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here.
Yeah, well, we are so excited to hear about the work that you're doing with all of your equines. So tell us about Horses for Healing. Who are you? What's your mission? Who do you serve?
Perfect. Yeah, so we are a nonprofit located in Albuquerque, New Mexico. As you said, founded in 2013, our mission has really just been the provision of high-quality, client-centered, strengths-based, trauma-informed clinical psychotherapy, utilizing horses, though. So all of our sessions incorporate horses into our clinical work. And so our mission there also centers on treating veterans and their family members, and then just adults, children, families, couples within our community with any mental health needs. So from PTSD and trauma work to ADHD, anxiety, depression, general life stress, and anything in between. And then we also have incorporated as part of our mission, because our horses are just so dear to us and are literally the reason we can provide the services we do. Part of our mission is also providing the highest level and standard of care for our elderly equine partners. And so as we talk, you'll find most of our horses are older in age. And so we have written that into our mission as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, and so how long does someone usually stay with you for a program as they get into your cognitive programs? How long do they last?
So that's really dependent on the client. So that's the beauty of our agency, really valuing that person-centered, client-first approach, is that when you come into our agency, we write treatment goals and treatment plans and create your treatment journey with you. So sometimes that's 3 months and it's a little bit more solution focused and we're just identifying, you know, a certain skill or stressor we want to get through and manage a little bit differently. And other times, you know, it's more in depth and we don't put a time limit on it. So some of our clients will stay 3 months, some will stay a year, and others actually will stick with us for 5 or more years and we'll kind of go through your life with you. And so that's the beauty of that. And we very much value that, being able to provide whatever the client is needing on any time frame.
Yeah, that sounds so lovely. And it's tailored to each individual. That's wonderful.
Yes. And, you know, just one of the beautiful things that the horses allow us to just go even deeper with that.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the horses. How many do you have? Where do they come from? Tell us about them. Tell us their names too. Yeah.
I would love to.
We want details. Yeah.
So we have 12 therapy horses total. That is 8 full-size horses. And then we have 4 miniature horses as well. I call them ponies, but technically miniature horses. We get our horses from a variety of places. So majority of our horses are older in age. They've come to us either because of their age and or like a career-ending injury. So I like to say for all of our horses, we're their second, third, or fourth career. And so all of our horses have had riding careers prior to us. And I'll kind of go through all of them because there is a lot of them. But we're their kind of long-term, forever landing spot to be well cared for, still have a purpose and a job and that connection and relationship with people, but not have the stress on their physical body of having to perform and be ridden and have that stress on their body. So we're very thankful and, you know, for the community who trust us with their horses and reaches out to us. We love them all so much. So I'll run through their names real quick because we have 12. There's so many, but our ponies, we have Tracker, Maximus, Spirit, and Watts, like the light bulb Watts.
Yes, yes.
Cutest things. And if, you know, you after this podcast, anyone wants to go look up pictures and videos of them, our social media has, you know, they're always getting posted. We have a 2025 calendar with all their pictures as well. That's kind of a fundraiser to care for them. So that's always a fun thing. We incorporate our horses wherever we can. So then we have our full-size horses. We have 2 off-the-track thoroughbreds. That is Linny and Wyatt. And then the rest are quarter horses. And so we have, make sure I catch them all here, Heidi, Shadow, Raven, Champ, Patty, and Whiskey. I'll make anybody. So that's all their names. Again, they've all had such a diverse background and personality.
Yeah. Are you always looking for horses, Caitlin, how do you, because you said that they come to you.
You know, they do. The universe brings me horses.
Yeah.
I laugh. One of our horses came from a local rescue. And I kid you not, one morning I just woke up and we'd been tagged on Facebook like 6 times in 2 hours. And I was like, all right, universe. She's ours.
Yep, that's right.
Right. We went there like the next day and picked her up. So it just kind of depends. I kid, 12 is a great number. So I do, when we are selective on our horses, partly because we want it to be a good fit for us, but I also want it to be a good fit for the horse. And sometimes I do find, like, while they're not physically being pushed and stressed, there is a lot that they take on from the ground. Yeah. Right? Yeah. There's a lot of energy and being connected and attuned and trauma work. And there's a lot energetically our horses are taking on. So it also takes the right kind of horse to mentally be happy in this job as well. And that means a lot to us. So we do screen for that. So I'm always open to inquiries, but I'm not always like actively seeking or accepting horses. But I'm always open for a conversation and to the right horse.
Yeah.
I have a really hard time saying no. So, yeah, I never say no, but it's not always a guaranteed yes is how I work.
Right, right. Well, that makes perfect sense. And that I was wondering about that, about the temperament and the training. Do the horses, so when you get a horse, do they go through training? What do you have to do to get them ready to do their trauma work?
Yeah. So I have a pre-screen that I do for all horses. So anytime we get a new horse offered to us, I go to their environment with their owner, wherever they're living. And I kind of do a meet and greet there in their space, just kind of get a sense of what's your personality, what is their energy, how do they engage with me, with their owner. And then I get a full history on that horse. So physical health, career training, and, you know, any daily, you know, help that they need, whether supplements or veterinary work. And then if they kind of, we clear them through all of that, they have the right temperament, they seem really engaging, they, you know, maybe greeted me at the gate, not knowing who I was, they still wanted to engage with me. Then we'll do a 90-day trial period where they do come to our facility. And we just spend 90 days getting to know them, acclimating them, both to our, you know, our human group, but then also our herd of horses. Herd work is very important to us as well. And so then we incorporate them for 90 days. We do about the first 30, just acclimating them. And then the 60 days after that, we do start incorporating them into sessions with clients and clinicians. And what we're looking for is really just one, that they're enjoying the job, right? Because they're going to meet a lot of people in a week that they don't know. And so it's different ages, it's different personalities, it's different energy, it's different than what they've known. And what I've noticed for a lot of our horses is you can actually kind of watch them learn what the job is. So I say over that 90 days plus, you know, 90 days to 6 months, you can really watch these horses like blossom into like, oh, we're not riding, we're not saddling. Oh, you just want to hang out with me for an hour? This is great. And they'll like really lean into that. And I kind of say it's like taking these horses back to their natural instincts of like, you've been trained to do a job and all these things. And that's wonderful. You've done that. Most of them very successfully. And now that you're, you know, slowing down with that, while we're asking you to do now is be a horse, enjoy our time together, right? Just like lean into that relational, instinctual, energetic being that you are. And so it's really fun to watch that. So I find my pre-screening does enough of that. As long as they're like more of a people person kind of horse and they're relatively safe on the ground, we, you know, then we just bring them on and do our best. And if at any point they are not happy or we're not happy, all of our horses come from owners that have agreed to our contract that says we'll either send them back to you or we'll have a conversation about what the horse needs.
Oh, that's wonderful. So it's very, you're very horse-centered and very client-centered. Yep, yes, I love it. Yes. Yeah.
Well, without our horses, we as people couldn't do, as clinicians, couldn't do what we do. So that's, we right, really prioritize their happiness and health. Also, because a happy, healthy horse makes a better therapy partner. You know, if they're struggling, whether from pain or burnout or something else, they are also not the best therapeutic partner. So we really value that.
Yeah. That seems critical. Yeah. That it's like your equipment for your job. You have to make sure you're taking good care of it
and
that it's functioning well. Yes. That makes perfect sense. Well, tell us, how did you become an equine specialist? And what does that mean?
Yeah. So I laugh. I'm a horse person first, clinician kind of second. So I grew up with horses. You know, my parents are heavily involved in horses. My husband threw horses. Like, it's just always been a part of my life. So I rode competitively. I showed quarter horses and American buckskin horses all through my youth and early adulthood. And so through my parents, I actually met the founder of our agency at the time I was in high school. And she was like, I need someone to house it for me. And I was like, sign me up. I actually was an LPCC, so licensed professional clinical counselor. And she ran an outpatient program here in Albuquerque way back when, that did equine therapy. And they needed an equine specialist. And what that means is that it's your partner. It's the person teamed up with the clinician who isn't a clinician, but knows the horse part very well. So you kind of tag team that, where the clinician comes in clinically and the equine specialist comes in as a team with them and the client, and can help add to that dynamicness of the horse and what's happening and safety and all the things that you need in a session. So my house sitting job turned into that job, which turned into me then, right, being in college and like, what am I going to do? And suddenly I was like, I didn't know this was a job, right? And then, you know, totally switched gears like halfway through my undergrad and I was like, this is what I'm doing. And it's literally just been perfect because it really melded, you know, all the knowledge I have of horses from an entire lifetime. Plus, like, I had wanted to help people. I was like, maybe a doctor, maybe a vet. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. So it's been the perfect melding of that to just together.
Yes, it sounds like it. Well, oh my goodness. Well, we have so much more to talk about, but we're going to take a quick break and hear some important messages from our sponsors who we love. And then we're going to come right back because I have a whole lot more questions for Caitlin and want to hear more about this equine specialist designation. So come right back.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. We're visiting today with the Executive Director of Horses for Healing, Caitlin Erickson. And Caitlin, before the break, you were telling us about what an equine specialist is. And I did want to ask you just one other thing about that. And that is, did you have to get a certification for that when you went through your graduate program? Because I know you have your master's degree. Or was it just because you had all that horse knowledge, you didn't need to do that?
So that's an interesting position, is that you don't actually need a certification. And back when I was doing this, oh gosh, I'm going to age myself by telling you what year. But back in like the early, you know, 2010-11 time, there weren't actually a lot of certifications for that. Nowadays, though, there are. And I would encourage anyone interested to look into them because you just gain so much knowledge by going through those programs. So I believe PATH has an equine specialist certification that I've heard is really great. Some facilities will require that and others won't, depending on, you know, their own certifications and everything. But yes, you have a lot of horse knowledge and you feel really open to learning and working with a team and sharing that passion with horses. It's a great position to look for and a great springboard too if you're interested in becoming the clinician and getting your master's and all that training. It can really give you like a behind the scenes look at what does that job really mean as you springboard into the next step.
Yeah, that sounds, yeah, I know there are some really wonderful programs. I know, I believe the University of Denver also has a program.
Yeah, I stumbled on that one the other day. I know there's a few out there. And a lot of times, if you just research it, like I have a document that's like 6 pages long of all these certifications. There's so many nowadays, which is, I think, so wonderful because you can also then choose and research like what fits your style, your needs, the agencies around your area, because it will all be different on which model they follow and who they're certified under. And they might have requirements as too, you know, so look into all of that combined.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure our listeners are really curious to know how you use the horses in your sessions. Can you tell us more about that with individuals? And I'm guessing you do groups as well.
We do all of it. So we do individual families, groups, couples, siblings, and a whole gamut of everything. But the foundation is sort of the same for how we incorporate the horses. So it looks different because the horse and client really guide a lot of that. But the foundation's the same. So it's a lot of relationship building. So the client comes in and they're going to learn a lot about how horses communicate with us, how we communicate with horses, how our energy and body language means so much in these relationships. We're going to do trust building. We're going to do, you know, repair work sometimes, depending on that relationship. So there's always that relationship factor built in. We then also do a lot of herd observations. So really allowing the horses to live together and the client to find connection and, you know, overlap between how horses living together often mirrors and can reflect a lot of human nature as well. Then there's obstacle courses. So we also, our clinicians are trained on how to help clients build their own obstacle courses, or we have a whole library of obstacle courses we can build. And that gets into a lot of metaphorical work, and our horses are a part of that journey. So, you know, within each session, a horse can represent different things within that journey or just support and teamwork. But that's a really great time to take these really complex, kind of like mental health, brain-oriented concepts, and it breaks it down into a much more tangible black and white idea for people to understand and connect with on a different level. So there's so much magic that can happen there. And sometimes it's just proximity. You know, it's just being with your horse. It's mindfulness, somatic work, you know, grounding, breath work, nature-based. Right? So much of that is just a part of session, no matter what we're doing activity-wise. And again, clinicians, right, are trained on how to incorporate all of that in the session. And then as you take all of that and put on these, you know, clinical theories and models on top of that, you just create this environment where the horse is such a big part of that, and we just create magic within every
training. Yeah, it sounds like magic. Yeah. Well, give us an example of what do you do with clients for trust building activities?
Yeah, so it can be two layered, right? Some of that's trust building with the clinician and client, and some of it's between client and horse. You know, so some of that might be like starting on day one is they get to go meet all the horses and pick their own horse.
Wow.
You know, so it's really like already enabling them to go through and spend a whole hour meeting all 12 horses. And so we're getting to approach, we're getting to breathe with them, we're getting to observe them, we're learning about their different personalities, and then finding connection and trust right from the start. That's not dictated by the clinician. That's very client-led and centered. And from there, then it's really just incorporating, again, at the client's pace, we'll learn how to halter our horse, how to lead them, how to groom them. Why is grooming and leading important? How do we connect with our horse through all of this? And so that can take 8 sessions, or that can take 3, you know, really depending on the client and the horse and their dynamic. Sometimes it literally is just like putting your hands under their nose and feeling their breath on you and being able to breathe with them. We also do a lot of work on helping the clients build their skills to be aware of what the horse is communicating with us. So sometimes we'll go to walk up to our horse and maybe they turn their head away, or they walk away, or they don't turn to greet us. And like, do we notice that? And what does that mean? And how do we help our horse also actively engage in that relationship? And so there's so much self-awareness that's being built within the client, so much trust that's then being built between client and horse, and client and clinician as they're, you know, a team in that process. And then it just springboards from there.
Well, it sounds wonderful. Yeah, it sounds like, wow, your clients are so lucky to get to have this experience.
Yeah, it really is almost like watching magic. And I keep saying that word, and it's really not. You know, there's that energy the horses bring. There's the engagement, the relationship, and it just on that healing journey. We're just talking about the beginning steps. You know, as you get further into it, those horses can just bring out such deep rooted support. One of my favorite stories, and I think we're probably low on time, but one of my favorite stories is of a veteran client I have, older gentleman. Comes out and, you know, very much from the military. I can't show emotion. I'm here to become stronger. You know. I don't want anyone to see me as anything less. And, you know, a few sessions in, right, why he was there is like he just had this expression of emotion and he couldn't hold it in. And he's like, you're not strong, this whole narrative. And his horse literally just like didn't move one hoof for a whole hour, stood there with him, kind of put his nose on him every now and then. And at the end of session, right, I was kind of, you know, sitting holding space and asked my client, like, do you think your horse is strong? And he was like, oh, they're the strongest, right? They're so big and powerful. I was like, how did your horse handle your emotions for a whole hour? And he's like, he didn't move at all. Like, he didn't leave me. And I was like, right, right. So if your horse can handle these emotions and they're big and powerful and strong, what does that mean? What does strength then mean? And it was this like light bulb moment, right? Where he literally was just like, if my horse is not scared of my emotions, why am I? You know, yeah, and it's just like, that's just this example of how, like, just by being so present, These horses can completely change the narrative we have, especially for trauma, but any kind of mental health struggle, even just general life stress or PTSD, ADHD, anxiety, anything, they have such a great way of just attuning and connecting and challenging that narrative we tell ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it impacts someone, I'm sure, so much greater, having that awareness brought to them by that horse than it could with just a clinician.
Yeah. It does. And like the model we follow, right, is also that we are really big on allowing our client to have a voice in what they're interpreting from their horse as well. So it's also not just a clinician with a horse coming in going, well, here's what your horse is telling you and here's what it means. But it's really asking the client, though, like, what are you noticing about your horse? And what does that mean to you? And there's that strengths-based person-centered again, where it's like, we can come in and tell them, you know, we have expertise and knowledge, but it means more when it comes from the client and they, well, we're guiding, we're not, you know, we're a very active part of this process, but we are also not like an authoritative part of that process. So our clients really do have a lot of their own self-driven insights and connections to the process, which I think just makes the long-term effect so much stronger. Mm-hmm.
It's so much more powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, and long lasting, I'm sure too, that always stays with them. Yeah. That light bulb moment, as you called it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so fun when that happens too.
You see it, right? Yeah.
And be a part of that journey for so many.
Yes. What a gift. Yes. Yes. But yeah, what you do is not work. Yeah. That is magic performing.
But a lot of skill behind it. I give credit to, you know, myself and all these clinicians. We do put a lot of time and effort into learning how to facilitate this in a way where it really does work. Because there is a lot of skill behind being able to facilitate this with such fluidity that it looks like magic is happening.
Yeah, but you guys are really have the wand.
Yeah.
You have the magic wand. Yeah, because I can only imagine how much work it is caring for these horses. Do you have volunteers that help you, Caitlin, or is it all your staff does all the work?
So kind of a mixture. I'm really, really big on making sure like the horses are always cared for. So I do have a barn manager and paid barn staff who do every feeding, all the stalls, 365 days a year. Again, my preference is to make sure there is no doubt they will always have the care that they need. And we do utilize volunteers as well. So my barn manager oversees that for me. She's wonderful. So she has volunteers in there Monday through Friday with her. And they come in and they'll help clean stalls, prep the grain, all, you know, whatever facility work needs to be done. And then she also lets them join her when she is going to do any kind of work with the horses. And so they gain a lot of knowledge from her as well. So it's a great team environment and very opening, right? So I even have, we're big on like helping the next generation of clinicians. So I have interns constantly.
Perfect.
And a lot of our interns will actually reach out and start by volunteering in the barn with my barn manager and then work their way up as they start their master's to intern and then they graduate. And occasionally we hire them on as a clinician after that. So it's really fun to watch that be such a great space in the barn for anyone of all ages and skill level and interest to kind of come in and just find value in their day by having purpose with the horses versus having a larger purpose of, you know, clinician eventually or whatever that looks like.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a beautiful model for everybody, for all the participants.
And that's really our goal. You
know, yeah.
When we were founded, that was sort of what our founder said. And I was with her right from the start with that was we wanted to create a behavioral health agency that felt like nothing Albuquerque had to offer at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Equine therapy alone would have done that. But she was in the behavioral health field for so long, right? It was like, let's not just create something that's different because of the horses. Let's create something that's different on every level.
Yeah, it's so purpose-driven at all levels. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's so cool. I'm sure that what you charge for services doesn't cover everything. Where do you get your funding from? And how do they have to pay to come for services? Tell us about that.
So I'll start with how people pay for services. So because we are licensed mental health professionals, insurance does recognize what we do as psychotherapy. So we accept most commercial and Medicaid insurance plans, which really helps the accessibility of services.
Yes.
And so if you don't have insurance, though, we do have private pay rates. There's a sliding scale for that as well. We do have a state-funded, a New Mexico Behavioral Health State Department-funded grant, and that covers all our veteran services and their family members, which is really amazing. So it covers not just the mental health therapy that we provide, but within our agency, we have also contracted out to other holistic providers in our community to provide wraparound services free of cost as well. So veterans and their family members also have access to a yoga instructor who actually works on site and uses the horses in her yoga. And then a Chinese holistic medicine doctor as well, who does acupuncture and trauma release massage and herbal remedies and more. So that grant is such a gift to all our veterans and their family members.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then we do fundraise, we do donations. Like the calendar I mentioned earlier is one we do every year to help care, you know, the cost to feed the horses and everything. During the summer, we do what we call movie night with the horses. And so we literally put up a big screen on the barn and you pay, you know, whatever your admission fee. And we all come and literally watch a movie in the middle of the barn with the horses.
How fun.
So there's like community engagement there too. And fundraising, you know, we are so thankful for our donors and community who think of us and support us all the ways.
You guys are just doing it all. That is so wonderful. Well, I could talk to you about this all day, Caitlin, but I know you're busy. And you need to get back to your horses and your clients. But I am just so grateful for the work that you're doing and the impact that you're having. It's just so well-rounded, holistic. It's everything.
Oh, thank you.
Checks all the boxes. Thank you so much for this work.
Well, thank you for having us. And anyone who wants to learn more, you can check out our website.
Tell us your website, Facebook, Instagram, any of your social media.
Yeah. The website is horsesforhealingnm.org. That's all spelled out. And same for our Instagram, social media, TikTok. The handle's just at horsesforhealingnm.
Okay.
You'll be able to connect with us through all of those platforms where we try to be fairly active on there. TikTok is just for fun. So literally, if you just want to see like the therapy horses and ponies and like be there with us, that is a dedicated platform for just fun horse stuff. Instagram, Facebook, and our website, though, is where you'll get a whole mixture and more about our programs and what is equine therapy and who we are and all the things. We love connecting and checking that out. If you want a calendar, there's a link for that. If you want services, there's a, you know, whole thing for that. So definitely check it out. Give us a call, email, whatever
Fantastic.
Works.
Fantastic. Yes. Well, I'm going to get on right now and get my calendar.
Awesome.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you so much for what you're doing. And we love it. Yep. Can't get enough
thank
of it.
Thank you so much. It was so fun to talk with you.
Thank you, Caitlin. And thank you, everybody, our listeners. We love you, and we're so glad that you're with us. And you know how much we enjoy hearing from you. So please keep your emails coming. Any questions, comments, or ideas for future shows, we'd love to hear from you. And you know you can email me and Fenway at marcie@petliferadio.com. So thanks so much for being with us today, and take good care.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.